Hi, my name is Jose Miguel Perrella. I'm an open source specialist with the Azure team, and today I'm joined by Michael, who is one of our open source MVPs in the Azure group. We've been working together in a number of projects in the past and been reading a lot of the stuff that you've been writing in your blog. So we wanted to spend the next few minutes talking about open source at Microsoft, open source in the cloud, and the work that you do as part of the MVP community. So welcome. And I'd like to get started with just a simple question. Just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Hello, Jose. Hello, everyone. My name is Michael. Michał Smereczyński in Polish. It's not so simple to pronounce, so let's say Michael. I'm MVP. Today, October last year, I have been nominated to this title. As I know, as the first guy in history who is a Linux guy right now with MVP. It's not about just Linux. I'm open source guy and I'm working with Azure today, I think, for 5, maybe 6 years. Till 2011 in production, if I remember correctly. And in 2012, I have started to work with virtual machines, Linux virtual machines. And in 2012, the virtual machines was in a preview mode, yeah. And no one thought about Linux on Azure then. So it's a long journey till today, and it's a pretty image today about Linux on Azure, and it's a lot of work of many people out there in Microsoft, here in community, to make it happen. Aside of being MVP, I'm founder of Polish Microsoft Azure User Group with my colleague Emil, who is also an Azure MVP in Poland. I'm also an entrepreneur. I have my own business. And I'm technical expert on Azure, open source of Azure. I am consultant. I'm the guy who is moving the business from third-party hosters or on-premise to Azure. And in 99.9%, I am working with Linux. The last part, the 0.1%, is a Python apps on Azure web apps. It's a new thing for my customers, but I see that many of them is asking me about migration from infrastructure as a service to the platform as a service because of simplicity and complexity of Azure solutions. But maybe later about that. I'm also president of Polish Open Source Foundation, EGIS. We are also working on a few projects connected to the Azure open source projects. We are trying to move people to start working on open source with the closed source platform. About this, maybe also later. I think it's about working with as an open source guy with Azure in three models. The first thing is to run open source things on Azure. Let's say virtual machines. Linux is a Linux. It does not matter if it is running on Azure or on other platform. So it's just running. The second thing is interoperability things. So we are getting some virtual machines with Linux, let's say, and trying to connect those open source technologies, pure open source technologies, with Microsoft technologies like SQL Azure to be more scalable and less administrative for people. And the last thing is to try to use pure open source technologies like programming languages purely on Microsoft stack, like IIS, like Azure Web Apps, like Internet of Things platform on Azure, and so on. So three models and three big battles to do any day for a guy who is not using Windows on his PC.
Yeah.
So it's a it's a quite complicated, but it's a very very impressive work if you are looking back after the 1 year, 2 years, 3 years of working with Azure, and you can see you did a great job for open source community and for Microsoft as a owner of the Azure platform.
It's fascinating, and this is going to be a great conversation. You already raised a lot of great points here that I'd like to talk about. But first, you did mention, you know, you were nominated to the MVP, to Microsoft Most Valuable Professional Program around October 2015, or 2014?
And last year, 2015.
And that you are the first, you know, Linux person in the group. Tell us a little bit about how you ended up in the MVP program. You know, what was the process? How does you know, a Linux enthusiast in any other part of the globe get into MVP program?
It was a very hard thing to become an MVP with a Linux background. Not just because Microsoft does not like people from the Linux world, yes. But if you are going to be Azure MVP, you need to have a knowledge about technologies which are not common for Linux guys, like PowerShell. Most of Azure MVP MVPs all over the world are PowerShell magicians. For me, they are just wizards. Yeah, everything that I do with open source CLI for Azure, they are doing with PowerShell. I'm probably know PowerShell on the level of the newbie guy starting his journey with Windows Server, which I do not know at all. So it's hard to be an MVP with no knowledge about PowerShell, let's say, with no knowledge about Windows Server, with no knowledge probably about SQL Server. But in other hand, I think probably almost all MVPs, Azure MVPs all over the world, does not know so much about Linux and Linux on Azure that few people all over the world are knows. Yeah, so we have two groups of people, but both are using Azure as a platform. Okay. And last year, in 2015, Microsoft announced a new path for MVPs. And today, it's not like in previous years that you are fixed on one category. So Azure, it's not a one strict category for MVPs. You can be MVP on virtual machines, let's say Linux virtual machines and the data platform, let's say big data, and so on and so on. So it is much simpler today to be a MVP, a great professional using Azure and know almost nothing about PowerShell. Yeah, so Microsoft is going to be more open for open source communities, open source professionals, database administrators, and so on and so on. It's highly connected with big data business, because if you are working with big data today and Internet of Things today, you are not using Microsoft technologies at all.
Right.
But you can find those technologies on Azure. So if you are a great professional on big data and using Azure, you are using probably only the open source technologies. And you can be MVP today.
That's right. No, and I have to say that I'm also not a PowerShell expert. Now, another technology you didn't mention that also comes up very commonly in this in the MEP world is Active Directory, right? And it's, you know, it's one of those Microsoft solutions that has been around for a while, and sometimes it's quite frankly a headache for, you know, Linux enthusiasts and open source developers. So it's great to see how, you know, definitely how both Microsoft's making those technologies more accessible, but also acknowledging that people out there use other things that, you know, are not necessarily SQL and PowerShell and Active Directory. So and you referred to the changes in the MVP program that we announced on recognizing contributions that go beyond a particular Microsoft product. So that's definitely fantastic. But what exactly do you do as an MVP? I mean, what does your week look like? Do you help other people? Do you, you know, sit down with engineering and provide feedback? Do you write documentation? What exactly does that entail?
I think I'm doing two things during my week. The first thing is to use technologies I know, trying to find if something is not correct or can be improved in Azure, and share my thoughts with other MVPs and Linux guys I can contact personally as an MVP. And it's much quicker to fix it for MVP that, than for, let's say, a typical standard Azure user. Yeah. So it's a kind of duty. The second thing is to, as open source guy, to use Microsoft technologies or purely Azure connected services. As you say, Active Directory, as example, it's a great tool if you are using Azure. It's a great tool if your client is a big company, and it's not a great tool if you are pure open source guy and you have nothing about Active Directory. So let's try to use it. Let's try to know much more about Active Directory and share some thoughts with guys who knows a lot about Active Directory but knows almost nothing about open source world, right, and try to connect both. Right. Yeah, it's a great thing because I'm fresh for Active Directory, let's say, or Microsoft SQL, and I see some things that my colleagues from open source technology world are seeing, but the Microsoft guys are not. So it's very important to connect both worlds.
That is actually very interesting, right? It's kind of like an evangelism role. Is that you're not being evangelized, but you get to be the open source evangelist, you know, in this community of people that, as you say, you know, maybe they didn't have the exposure before to this technology.
Yeah, and it's simplifying some things for guys from the open source world. Like with Active Directory domain services, you can create your own domain controller with few clicks and you don't need to administer it. It's just a platform as a service or even software as a service level. So you're just clicking and you have your own domain controller. Just connect to it with LDAP and you are up and running. If there is no one who can tell about this to the open source guys, it will be not used by them. So in both directions, it's evangelism, I think, but mostly about simplifying things or just discovering new technologies. If you like to start with big data, let's say, it's very hard to do it on premise in your company, in your home, and so on. So let's try to do it in Azure with few euros or few dollars in your pocket, and it's possible. Yeah. So why do not try to do this on Azure? Of course, there is few obstacles in this perfect picture because mostly open source guys don't really like Microsoft as a logotype, let's say. It's not about people, because when they are meeting some people from Microsoft, it's okay. One technology guy on the one side, one technology guy on the second side. So there is no personal problem. But Microsoft is no well-known open source contributor or open source citizen in open source world. So it's hard sometimes to announce that you are working on open source for Microsoft, in Microsoft, with Microsoft, and so on and so on. I think here is the biggest adventure in evangelism for me on both sides. Yeah, because sometimes the Microsoft guys also are thinking about open source, like on the guys in big sweaters and coding all over the time, all over the day, and stereotypes are very hard to to fight with them.
Yeah, I think that we understand that, and I've had a lot of opportunities to go and talk to open source specialists and enthusiasts around the globe, even in Warsaw. I think back in 2014 or something like that, the InteropConf, and many of these communities having an open source background myself. But I think it's really something, we acknowledge as Microsoft, that the way forward is demonstrate this commitment, this long-term commitment, 10-year plus commitment. So it's a journey, and it's definitely exciting to hear how the MVP program is also supporting that journey in a way. So you would say maybe that you get the opportunity, being a Linux person in the MVP program, to influence the product and to kind of change Microsoft a little bit in your own way. Would you say that?
Yes, I think yes, and it's a big thing. It's not all about me, just me. There is many people all over the world, open source guy who is talking with Microsoft about tools. The technology, all the IT all over the world, it's just a tools. If you have something to do, you are getting some hammer of screwdriver from your garage and do what you have to do for you, for your client, child, and so on. In IT, it's much harder because there is a lot of people with in two worlds. Microsoft world and not Microsoft world. Yeah, and sometimes you need, as an open source guy, you need a tool from the Microsoft world, and sometimes people just don't want to use them because it's not good to use it. So it's a funny situation because people has lost on searching for new technologies in 21st century just because the company, yeah. So, but everything is changing today. I think we are going to the more interoperability enabled world. Right. So everything is changing.
And you did mention a couple of things that I think are really interesting. You mentioned 99.9% of what you do is Linux-based. You do a lot of things on Python. You try to connect these solutions with, past offerings like SQL Azure and entire stacks like Azure Web Apps. I want your thoughts on that, how the open source community is starting to look beyond the operating system, and beyond IIS into PaaS as well. And I also wanted to talk a little bit about the work you've been doing in Poland with the Open Source Foundation on enabling more people to do more with open source with the cloud. I mean, is that a thing? Is that working? Is the cloud an open source enabler? What are your thoughts on that?
I think I'm not a great fan of containers at all, Docker and so on. I think it's not really major technologies today. But it's just my own opinion, yes? But to be honest, containerization, Docker, LXA, LXD, those technologies are enabling business to be in cloud. Because if your application, great big portal, let's say some e-commerce, is containerized, is created with cloud in mind, it's totally does not matter in which cloud it will be running. Today can be running on Azure, tomorrow can be moved to the other cloud, and opposite. Yeah, you can maybe you created your service in other cloud, but because of price or maybe something else, you are migrating your service to Azure today. Open source in this world is a key to building a technology highways, I think, because using open source technologies is making you much more open for using technologies where you don't need to pay at the beginning to start working with those technologies. So you have no any point of obstacle, let's say, and you can start do it in your home, in your office, on premise, and then migrate to this, scale out, do some lift and shift to the cloud, and start using it in size of corporation, of big business. If you want to start with big closed technologies, let's say Microsoft technologies, you must buy something at the start of your business. Even if you are making something on-premise in your office, in your home, and so on. Of course, you have support with it, you have documentation, and so on and so on, but you must to pay something. Open source guys don't like to pay at the beginning. They sometimes like to pay after the short beginning. Microsoft is giving something like that for those clients who love to use open source technologies, and it's making this model of work working on Azure. So it's not about just about technologies on Azure, it's about the point of view from the Microsoft side. Yeah, so if my client is using this open source technologies, then I can get some professional to help him migrate to Azure because it works on Azure. So it's not just about technologies, it's about people and point of view, about model of working with clients, and so on and so on. So the cloud at all, and the open source technologies, and the closed source technologies from Microsoft, it's one thing which is making us technical people to migrate to the cloud. One technology from one vendor or second technology from second vendor will not be some magic thing which will make us able to get to the cloud. You must get very a lot of things to make it happen. So without open source, it's just not possible today.
That's really fascinating. And you did mention something. You use containers as an example. But it's something that open source in the cloud really enables, which is workload mobility, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you're in vendor A, vendor B. You know, as long as it's supported and there's a real commitment to open source, you'll be able to move your data, move your applications. And that's, you know, enabling customer choice, which I think is fantastic. Talking about customers, you then mentioned you run your own business. So, you know, I want your thoughts on, How is it, about running an open source business, an open source consulting business in particular? And how are you seeing customers using this open source technologies in Azure and the Microsoft platform?
Yes. So making a business on open source on Azure is it's two things. The first thing is migration. So if I have client who told me that, okay, I can get to Azure, it's fine. Our service works great on Azure, so let's get to Azure and do it for me in, 10 days. Okay, so it's a very simple thing. Today we have a resource manager on Azure. We can create the templates for our clients, and clients can run infrastructure by his own, just using the template we created. So this is the first thing. The second thing is to solve problems on Azure. Problems typically not about that something is not working on the Azure. Sometimes is a lack of documentation, like I have described with Python on web apps on my blog. It just because something works great on Linux servers, it works on Azure, but don't work on Azure like on Linux. Yeah, so it must handle, let's say, 200 requests per second. On the Linux server on Azure, it's getting 200 requests per second, but on web apps, it's getting 50 requests, and there is something unusual beneath the platform, and someone must to investigate what is happening and how to solve it. In most cases, of course, there is no problems with solving such things, but sometimes there is a huge lack of documentation for open source guys working on Azure, like with Python, like with Node.js, PHP. Of course, if you are a .NET developer and you are using Visual Studio, you are just the king in your kingdom, yeah, using Azure. And it's normal because .NET is a Microsoft child, Visual Studio is a great tool from Microsoft, and Azure is a great tool from Microsoft. But if you are using, let's say, Python, you must investigate some things by your own today. Of course, I'm working on it to change it, to make it happen for Python developers, open source developers, to be the first class citizen in documentation as the .NET developers, because on the platform, on the infrastructure as a service, open source guys are also first class citizen, like the .NET guys on the technology stack. But if we are speaking about documentation, it's a different thing. Of course, there is a lot more .NET developers using Azure as a platform, so platform as a service, and because of this, there is much more lack of documentation for open source developers. Just because documentation for Azure in big part is community driven on the GitHub, so if someone asks for something, probably he will get the answer in documentation in short time, but someone must ask. And I think MVPs are asking the hard questions, but I'm probably the only one who is asking about open source technologies. So I think Microsoft should nominate more open source guys to be MVP, but the open source guys should be more active on Azure to become MVP. So right. It's a circle, closed circle. So it's not so simple.
But it's great that you are, you know, raising the point because it's certainly something that we need to do, right? Like just today, you know, 25% of all the virtual machines that are created on Azure run Linux, and you know, 60% of the marketplace images are based on Linux. So we should expect more and more. And sure, .NET, you know, now .NET Core can run on Linux, etc. But the majority of things that will be running on Linux are not going to be Microsoft software, right? And so we need the documentation and the experiences there. I will make sure that I link in the description of this video to the Azure-content repository on GitHub, as well as through your blog. You touched many interesting points in the past, including the Active Directory one. So, you know, people should definitely check that out. I wanted to get some closing thoughts from you on two areas. One, beyond Azure, what are, you know, other things that Microsoft is doing in the open source space that, you know, really excite you about the future? And the second thing is, when you look at the future challenges of the cloud, of Azure, what are things that Microsoft should be doing more of?
The first thing, outside the Azure and Microsoft and open source, there is a lot of things. Two things that I like most, one is .NET. I'm not a .NET programmer at all. I have been trying a few years ago to write something in C# and .NET. But today, ASP, .NET in the newest version, .NET in newest version is an open source tool. It's a great thing because not only for developers using Microsoft platform, but for developers using open source platforms. For typical PCs or servers, maybe it's not a great thing, but if you will try to work with Internet of Things, those small boards like Raspberry Pi, BeagleBone Black, or other micro platforms, the C# with .NET and Visual Studio in Community version, it's a set of great tools making it possible to build a great thing in schools, in houses, in companies, and so on and so on. So it's a great thing. The second thing is a Kinect with open source drivers for open source coders. You can find open source drivers for Kinect and try to make your own things using Kinect. So it's not only about making games or entertainment. It's you can use it for accessibility things and let's say cars with no drivers and so on and so on. So those two things are the greatest things from Microsoft outside Azure for me. And your second question, it's most important question today about what Microsoft can do to do more for open source world with Azure. The most important thing are databases, in my opinion, open source databases like PostgreSQL or MySQL as a service and not third party, but from Microsoft. Those should be, we should have some choice for using databases on Azure. Of course, today we have new version of ODBC driver for MS SQL and also for SQL Azure. It works great. I have been testing it and with Python it is just a great tool, but maybe some developers, and I know it, just want to use MySQL or Postgres, yes? So don't try to convince them to something else because they just using it and love those databases. And the second thing is platform as a service, especially web apps with other web servers and application servers than IIS. So if Microsoft will be open to, let's say, Apache or Nginx as a web server on platform as a service, I think a lot of developers will migrate their application to the Azure just because interoperability. Yeah, so if the if you are starting to convince some developers to run their app on Azure, everything is okay because you have continuous development tools, you have other tools to team work and so on. Everything in one place we call Azure, and at the end of the discussion, the question is about if I must use IIS. Yes, you must, and the discussion is closed. Yeah, just because they are using Apache because of something. Sometimes it's not about I don't want to use Microsoft technologies. Sometimes it's about HD access files written for Apache, and they just want to use them
right
in their application. So it's a technology thing. So I think platform as a service as a first class citizen today for opening on open source technologies.
Yeah, no, points well taken. Managed database, MySQL and Postgres, first party, and a PaaS layer that's more open to open source technologies, especially in the web. I think those are great points. Any final thoughts? We're getting to the end of our interview, and I just want to make sure you get some minutes to talk to the open source community out there and to convince them to come closer to the ecosystem and help change Microsoft and make it, you know, much more open to the open source ecosystem too.
If you are open source guy, open source IT pro, maybe developer, it's really funny to start working with Azure not knowing it at all, just because Azure is it's a young stack, it's a young service. If we will get other two biggest public clouds from other vendors, they are older from Azure, they are also big, but Azure is young, and as an IT pro or developer, you can change Azure today to use it better tomorrow. Everyone has power to do this, not as a MVP. You can become MVP in the future. I have been changing Azure for years today, not being MVP. Yeah, so if something can be done better, just tell Microsoft to do this. If they don't know that, they will not change it. It's very simple, yeah? And as an MVP, as a guy working with Azure for years, I can tell you that it's possible to change it. Just try to speak with those who can change it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does not work in other clouds, and I know it. If you are using other great public cloud platform, you can say a lot about what is done bad, and nothing will change. Nothing will change, and in Microsoft you can try, and it works. So I think this is a thought I want to tell all open source guys thinking about maybe starting with Azure.
And I want to make sure that people know, you know, your feedback is more than welcome. Use whatever means you can to get to, you know, those of us working with open source at Microsoft. Use the comments in this blog, on Twitter, open@Microsoft, and our email address, opensource@Microsoft.com. Michael, I want to thank you for your contributions, like, to the open source, you know, world in general, and definitely to Azure in particular. And really thank you for your time today. It's been a fantastic conversation, and I hope that you had a great time as well.
Thank you very much, Jose. I'm very pleased to be able to talk with you, and have a nice day.